Other horns don't.
Everything that we do every day, we want to be a champion.
Get your mind right and let's go. Do the little things. Win every day.
It's a surplus they play so far.
Everything with an attitude.
Alabama.
I don't give a shit who we're playing.
Nothing that you guys are playing against. In fact, it's their split. That's our framework. That's our MO as a team.
Richardson breaks free on the sideline. End zone.
This is a mauling, folks, a mauling.
Fear the tide, honey badger.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Tom, can you believe we're going into our 10th season of doing this thing?
No, man, I cannot believe that people have actually listened to us for a decade, much less that we're doing this for 10 years, man. No, but in all seriousness, we enjoy this. Obviously, we have a passion for talking about this, and we're just glad that the listeners and, you know, enjoy taking time out of their schedule to, you know, to listen to us on a regular basis.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been, I think, it's either the shortest long offseason or the longest short offseason. I'm not sure which. I still feel a gut punch from the visit out west, back in January. But super excited to get this season kicked off. Again, our number 10 season, which is truly amazing. We think we have sort of an outstanding opportunity to connect better with some of our loyal fans, give you an opportunity to help support the show, and get to do some cool stuff with us, including the opportunity to potentially be on the podcast, which is super fun. We're going to talk about that after we cover some preseason camp topics. Tom, I'm going to hand it off to you. Let's cover a couple of three things that we're excited for watching in camp. Why don't you lead us off?
Well, man, you know, Saban is, you know, such an outspoken person, right? And he doesn't like positive talk about anything. And so did I hear him right in his last press conference that he was actually saying some good things about the potential for this year's offensive line? Did I hear that correct, or was I missing it?
No, you're spot on. He went as far as to say that he really liked the tackles, and he thought this offensive line had a chance to be really good. I read an article from Bama Hammer Ronald Evans this morning, and he talked about Saban's been talking about a dangerous team, and he said, you know, our opponents need to be afraid of a calm and relaxed Coach Saban. And so when Saban says these types of things, we better take heed. How many times have we said, hey, Saban will tell you what you need to know. And if he's saying the line looks really good or the potential is really good, that he likes our tackles, boy, we better write that down and we better pay attention. This line probably has a chance to be great. If not only just really good. I am really bullish on some of these guys.
Well, you know, the challenge is obviously he's blessed with signing, you know, with having 85 guys on the roster that could play anywhere else in the country. And he's got the ability to recruit guys who are very versatile and can play more than one position, right? And so obviously the biggest example of that is Alex Leatherwood. For this guy to come in, you know, in the Georgia game like he did due to the injury, you know, at the left tackle position, and just come in the second half and just not skip a beat, right? Other programs can't do that, right? That's just not that would have been a disaster for other football teams. So obviously this kid has got talent because he was asked to man the right guard position last year, and obviously he's comfortable at left tackle. You and I both know that Deontay Brown was a huge loss at the end of the season. Take nothing away from Lester Cotton, but obviously Deontay Brown had made a huge impact. And then we've got the whole Pierschbacher situation, who had, you know, had the versatility to slide down to center. So I guess for me, my biggest concern is really the middle of that offensive line and what that's going to look like.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what Saban's telling us too, right? We like Leatherwood, we like Jedrick Wills at the tackle positions. And then it's almost you could pick names out of a hat. We've seen Chris Owens, Emil Ekior, and Landon Dickerson all get run at the center position. And then we've seen Emil Ekior, Landon Dickerson, Evan Neal, Deontay Brown, Mack Womack, all get run at the guards. And I feel like there's, you know, you can almost pick names out of a hat. There's so much talent at those positions. Not all of them have significant experience And in the person of Dickerson, he has experience at FSU, not at Alabama. But I think there's a lot of talent. And I like the way, not even just the ones, but I like how the twos stack up. And I think you could put together a line of the number twos. You know, how many times have we had, even under the Saban era, where we've said, we just need to find that sixth lineman. So we have, you know, someone that can backfill positions. And then we really felt blessed when we had a seventh lineman. And so that we had like an interior and exterior backup. Well, now we are pretty deep. I think I'm comfortable nine deep across our offensive front. It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. I'm kind of bullish on, now when Deontay comes back, he's taken over, at a guard position, but I kind of like, either Emil Ikior and or Landon Dickerson at center and the other at guard. And then I like some combination of Evan Neal, who might be a freshman that we can't keep off the field. He's a future at left tackle, but he may be like Alex, where he's our best five. We got to put him in there, even if it's a little out of position. And if it's not him, I think it's Matt Womack, who probably is more of a natural right tackle, but he is a big, beefy guy at a guard position. And Tommy, we've got 2 6-7 guys competing at guard. Could you imagine Evan McNeil and Matt Womack filling the guards? I mean, that's four tackles across the front.
No, that's true. And we talked about, you know, before the show, you know, a couple years ago when Leon Brown was asked to step in at right guard because we couldn't keep him off the field, and he won the battle for the fifth best guy. And so obviously Matt Womack, as a redshirt senior, brings a lot of experience to the table. He might not have been able to beat Leatherwood out last year for right guard, but maybe, you know, maybe he's the guy that wins it this year. Talk a little bit for the listeners about your take on Landon Dickerson, because, you know, unlike coaches in the past at Alabama, you know, Saban does a really good job when he brings in a transfer. They make an impact typically. And yeah. So give the listeners your thought on Dickerson.
Yeah, I think they really do. I think I think if you could take a blank sheet of paper and you had some drawing ability and you wanted to draw what an offensive lineman should look like, a collegiate offensive lineman, you'd be hard pressed to draw something that looks better than Landon Dickerson. I mean, you know, he's tall, he's stout. I mean, we're talking offensive lineman here. He's got a big ass and thick. You know, he's thick through the trunk. You know, he has played all I call it all three. It's really all five. You know, he's played guard, tackle, and center at Florida State. He has the opportunity to compete at all three of those. Again, it's really five, but all of the positions across the front at Alabama. I don't think he's breaking line with Leatherwood and Willis, but I think, you know, the three positions in the middle, he could man any of them. And he is a what's the expression the kids use, right? He's a first player off the bus kind of guy. You want the other team to see this guy and say, we're going up against a team of those fellas. This Landon Dickerson, the only sort of question mark I would put next to him is his time at Florida State. He has missed time with injury, and he's had a couple season-ending injuries. And so I hate to brand a guy as fragile or, you know, an injury history, but you can't ignore the truth in his history as well. And so I wonder, and this is where I get to, you know, overthink things sometime. I wonder, are we better off starting the season with him, not knowing if we'll finish the season with him, or do we keep him in a backup role so that if someone goes down, we know that we have him later in the season? And you get to a point where you kind of start outthinking yourself. But I wonder, to what degree do you let his known injury history play a role in how you start him, you know, relative to the starting five? I don't know the answer to that question, but you wound me up on Landon Dickerson, and I'm really excited about what this kid brings to the team.
Well, you know, Saban being Saban, I don't think he lets his prior injury status affect him being one of the top five. Yeah. If he's one of the top five, then you're going to play. And we also know what the process does as it relates to, you know, your nutrition and, you know, watching what you eat and your lifting and your conditioning and these players are put in a bubble, and these players are, you know, turned into fine-tuned machines that, for the most part, you know, have better injury histories than other teams, okay, and other players. And so when you watch Alabama play somebody, it's the other team that typically has players going down, not Alabama. And so he's going to benefit from the time since he's been here. You know, he's probably going to have a better injury history going forward from being here than he has previously. And due to his flexibility, you and I both know that the offensive line position, specifically center at Alabama, is a big deal. Obviously, it's a big deal to a lot of places, but the reason people like Pierce-Bakker move down is because it's so hard to find that right person. If you've got a guy who has shown that he can play at a high-level team like Florida State and play three different positions, I bet you see him at center.
No, and that's a key point. That is we've had a run of really good centers, and you go back to William Vallejos and even Antoine Caldwell, and I get to a point where I have to.
By the way, Antoine Caldwell moved down too, just like Pierce-Bakker, yes, to help Alabama.
Yes, absolutely. And so, but I go that far back, and that's a decade or better. And at that point, I have to look up names, but every one of them has been given a shot in the NFL. Now, not everyone has made it, but they've all gotten a shot. And then, you know, certainly there's a handful of them that are still competing in the NFL. And so I think that's certainly good. I think you're right. I think if he's one of the top five, I think Saban plays him. I don't think he overthinks it maybe in the way that I might would try to. And frankly, he's played tackle too. And so, you know, what if you have a situation with Womack and Evan Neal, Landon Dickerson, Leatherwood, and Jedrick? I mean, frankly, you've got five tackles across the front. That's an athletic bunch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, tell the listeners something that is jumping out to you to keep an eye on as we you know, head into the season here.
Yeah, I think there's probably a handful of things that I would want to look at. One of the big topics, and we'll kind of bounce back and forth sides of the ball, but one of the big topics that is the replacement of Joshua McMillan. And this is one of those things where, obviously I hate that he got hurt and all of sort of the excitement around how we back him up. And so my hot take on that topic has kind of cooled a little bit, but you know, a week and a half ago, I started to think, you know, Josh McMillan probably starts the season, but he doesn't finish the season. And the reason is, and it's almost like the Corey Reamer example, we need someone in that can go in, that knows the system, that can set the floor. Now, we've got a ton of talent behind him, and I think, you know, week three, week four, week five, he would have lost his starting position. And I love the kid. If you listen to the podcast, you know that I'm a big fan of Joshua McMillan. I just think from an athleticism standpoint, he's lacking relative to some of the other guys. And I really like Jalen Moody, he's running with the threes now. But freshman Shane Lee, Markel Benton is running with the ones. And I might even would say the same thing about Markel Benton that I was going to say about McMillan. You know, Benton probably has the second most experience on the roster. And so I think you're going to have players like Jalen Moody, Ali Cahoe, Shane Lee, and freshman Christian Harris all sort of nipping at his heels. So I just redirect my hot take. Joshua McMillan, I would have said, was going to start the season but not finish it. I might still say the same thing about Markel Benton because I am just super bullish. It's inexperienced. It's youth. It's not lack of depth. It's inexperience at the middle linebacker position, which I get it's critical, but it is a difference with a distinction. And so that's why I'm kind of still bullish in the middle. I would really wish we still had Joshua McMillan to help bring these guys along. But in terms of athleticism on the field, and it's hard to say this without sounding like a jerk to McMillan, but I think we turn up the notch athletically. But we turn the notch down on understanding of the system day one.
I see where you're going with that. I'm just really concerned from a depth standpoint that just because the experience, I guess, for me, I guess because the experience is not there, that's where my concern is. because Dylan Moses is being asked to carry a big load here. And I understand he's up for the challenge. I think he was your best player in the middle last year toward the end of the season. I'm glad he wasn't a junior last year, because he'd be gone right now and he would have been drafted in the first round. But I just think the cast of characters around him, they got a lot of growing up to do really quickly.
Well, I think they will. And I think this season, you know, even more so than other seasons, this season sets up well for it. You know, Tommy, we start the season with Duke this year, not even Louisville, right? It's not a Florida State. It's not a Michigan or a Wisconsin or a USC. You know, we start the season with Duke. And so I think that buys us some time. You know, the first month of the season, you know, we play Ole Miss in game four, right? And you can argue about how good they're going to be. But, you know, what do we got? New Mexico State and Southern Miss and Duke in some order to start the season. So I think that we're going to get some of these guys some game speed and some experience. When was it? And just a few years ago, when we had a middle linebacker go down, and it was Dylan Moses' freshman season, and we were so excited that we got to play Sisters of Mercy the week before Auburn so that he could get some run starting at the position. And we knew that, you know, we had to temper that excitement a little bit, but the fact that he went out and had such a good game gave us some hope, if you will, going into the Auburn game. And he ended up acquitting himself well. Well, here, the urgency isn't quite the same, and we have more players that'll have an opportunity to compete, and we have more games for them to get themselves ready. So I'd still really wish we had Josh. I'm not saying that. I just feel comfortable that we will find the right competitor in the first sort of quarter of the season, and then I think we'll be ready to go from there. I'm bullish on that.
No, that's fair. And Ole Miss, fortunately, is, you know, game five at the end of September. And so, you know, we have Duke, New Mexico State, South Carolina, and then Southern
there
Miss.
You go. Okay,
South Carolina. And so the schedule does help us from that standpoint, right? You know, for that to materialize. I think also this linebacker depth is going to have to depend on the health of Anfernee Jennings and Terrell Lewis. Obviously, Anfernee Jennings and Raekwon Davis choosing to come back was huge
yep.
for this football program, especially Anfernee Jennings. And if Terrell Lewis is able to have his first injury-free season in 3 years, if you've got him and Dylan and Anfernee Jennings as three of your four linebackers, that fourth linebacker has got some cushion.
Yes. I agree. I think that there are some games, and we play in the SEC, so I'm not going to say this about every game, but there are some games, if you tell me we're going to have a healthy, ready-to-go Anfernee Jennings, Dylan Moses, and Terrell Lewis, then you can put me at a linebacker position, and we're probably going to be okay.
Yeah, no, that's fair. You know, something else that jumps out to me going into this season, not only do we have all these guys leave early because the embarrassments of riches of all the talent, right? But then he's got to deal with all these coaching changes every year. And, you know, there wasn't a big deal made about it in the Clemson game, but, you know, Clemson had the same offensive and defensive coordinators together for the past four seasons. I think one side of the ball was 3 of 4 and the other was 4 of 4.
Yep.
And for Saban to do what he has done with all of the freaking carousel of coaches is amazing. No other, in my opinion, no other coach could handle this at the college level like he does. And so the fact that he lost a quarterback coach to become an offensive coordinator, and he lost a wide receiver coach to become an offensive coordinator. And oh, by the way, these were big programs. They went to Miami and Michigan,
yep.
right? And so when you can come to Alabama and you can be a, you know, just an offensive coach and then transition from there to offensive coordinator at a big program, that tells you something. And so for me, the biggest thing that I'm concerned about is bringing Sarkisian back.
Yeah.
And it's just because of the unknown. Obviously, you know, his pedigree at USC is all known. Was he thrown into a difficult situation when Lane Kiffin was let go? Absolutely. Can you blame him for that loss? No. Obviously, things haven't gone great at the Falcons for the past couple years. And so right now, you know, we're at a critical juncture with Tua and three talented junior wide receivers, right? This is the year you got to make hay with those weapons on the offensive side of the ball, because you don't know how many of those four guys are going to be here next year, if any.
Yeah.
And so how that offensive coordinator meshes with that system, to me, is a huge thing that I want to see how this kind of pans out.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that I hate to sort of point at, you know, turmoil on the offensive staff or even defensive staff that contributing to the loss, because that starts to sound, you know, more cop out ish. But I think what's playing out, or what has been playing out in the media between Mike Locksley and Josh Gattis, I think that tells a little bit of the story. They've been trying to, you know, sort of do a measuring contest with one another about, you know, who had the better, you know, who was responsible for Alabama's success, you know, last year. I think, and I'd have to go back and listen, but I think at the beginning of last season, we did a show talking about the new coaching staff. And, you know, we were optimistic on Mike Locksley, but we felt that he was truly retained from a recruiting standpoint. And then I thought we felt pretty much the same for Tosh Lopoi. We're excited about the opportunity, but that may have been too big of a step. At the time, you know, the stories were he had never called a defense and he had never coached the secondary. And that was at a time when we were replacing our top six, our nickel package, our top six secondary guys. And so it's easy last year to have been optimistic about it. It's easy this year to look at it sort of, you know, hindsight 2020 and say, you know, no surprise that we had some issues there, replacing six guys. And then with injuries, we get into, you know, seven and eight guys having to play. You know, look, I wish Dan Enos had stayed as the offensive coordinator. The fact that he left, I was a little bit concerned by that. Sark coming back sort of checks all the boxes, I think, but on both sides of the ledger, right? It's easy to say, well, this guy, you know, he cost us this championship game, and he didn't win a Super Bowl with the Falcons, and he's not this, and he's not that, and he's not a lot of things, but let's be realistic. He is a lot of things too. I mean, he's a multiple time head coach. He hasn't forgotten how to coach football. He hasn't forgotten how to do this. And I think he's going to be in a comfortable position where he's going to have all the bells and whistles at his disposal. And I think he's going to have fun sort of pulling the levers and turning the knobs, you know, running this offensive machine. I think Sark is an upgrade over Locksley. And I'm not mad at either of them. I just think that's an upgrade there. And you know, I wish Gattis all the luck in the world. But if they're having that sort of issue amongst themselves with Locksley, and he was a wide receiver coach, I don't want a lot of noise out of my wide receiver coach. And so I think bringing in, you know, Holman Wiggins under the Justin Fuente tree, used to running a fast tempo offense, I think he's going to be a step up there. I mean, there's a number of other changes, but I'm really excited about Pete Golden running the defense. I think that he was sort of the assistant defensive coordinator last year, and that may understate the role that he really did play.
I think he was more of a, you know, probably co, right? Would you say?
Right. I would.
Yeah.
And so I think sort of fully in that position where, you know, you are the guy, you're not propping up the guy, and you want to be, and you have to do that sort of delicately because you don't want to undermine, but at the same time, you know, we got to get stuff done. So I feel really good about Pete Golding in that position. And then not to go through all the staff, but I really like Sal Censuri being back coaching the linebackers, and I really like Charles Kelly, one of the defensive back coaches. You know, he's a former defensive coordinator at Florida State. So I feel like we've got a lot more experience in the secondary and on defense just in general than we had last year. So I was optimistic. I was bullish on the staff last year. I've got a little bit of Homer. I'm always going to kind of like our coaches. But if I compare sort of head to head this group versus last year, I think I like this group better.
Well, I think that, you know, take Sal Censuri, right? I think he's an example of Saban saying, I've got to make sure I have enough coaches here that follow my process.
Yes.
And so take nothing away from the coaches last year, to your point. But I will tell you that, you know, Josh Gattis was a one and done.
Yep.
Right. And so this infighting with him and Mike, you know, I don't think you would have ever heard of Sal Cenceri do any of that.
No.
Okay. Take nothing away from Mike. But I do think that, to me, the biggest loss on this coaching staff was Dan Enos.
Yes.
And I think that that would have been the first choice over Sark, right? Take nothing away from Sark, but I think he had the first dibs on it. And, you know, behind the scenes, you know, Josh and Mike are talking about things, but at the end of the day, maybe one of the guys, in my opinion, that had the biggest impact on the offensive success was Dan Enos.
Yeah.
Oh, and what he did, and what he did working with Tua, and what he did working with Jalen. I mean, look at Jalen Hurts, for Pete's sakes.
Yes.
I mean, come on. So I find it interesting that two guys that might be talking, you know, we'll never know who called every play and, sure, you know, what was done between the scenes. But I just find it funny that the two guys, in my opinion, that might have had the biggest impact on last year's team was Dan Enos on the offensive side of the ball and Pete on the defensive side of the ball, and they were kind of under the radar.
Yep.
So, well, tell me something else that you're looking at as, you know, another topic as we're going into the season here.
So my you know, my big prediction is that Brian Robinson will be the face of Alabama hate this season. And
what do you mean by that?
Let me sort of unpack that, right? Brian Robinson's not going to do anything, you know, that he's not going to, he's undeserving of sort of the hate that people that hate Alabama, it'll be because of Brian Robinson this season. And I say that this reason. Everyone knows, you know, everyone that's sort of within, you know, concentric circles, maybe not the inner circle, not our listeners, but, you know, if you're a ring or two away from the program and you kind of directionally understand some of the names, you know Najee Harris, and you know he was the number one running back, and you know that he, you know, was the five-star. And it's like they've lost a lot of guys, but now they've got this one five-star, but there's only one of them. You know, Trey Sanders went down. He was the guy, five-star freshman out of the IMG Academy, who colorfully said that he was going to come in as a freshman and win the Heisman at Alabama. He's gone down for injury. He's likely going to miss the entire season. And so, and it, you know, he was a five-star. What? And so people who sort of are proximity to the program, they know those two stories. The story they don't know, the story they forget, is the five-star in the middle. They forget the Brian Robinson. Now, if you've listened to the podcast, you know we love this guy. But that circle out, they don't. They don't know him. And when he comes in and he's every bit as good as Najee Harris, and he's literally the guy as a junior that feels like I've never heard of him, but he's kicking everyone's ass. This is why I hate Alabama, because it doesn't matter how many players they lose, how many players graduate, how many players leave early. They've always got this guy that's sitting on a shelf that you've never heard of that comes in and kicks everyone's ass. And so that is going to be Brian Robinson this season. And so the fact that everyone's going to hate Alabama because of Brian Robinson is exactly the reason that we love Alabama and that we're going to love Brian Robinson.
Well, so we're going to enjoy listening to the commentators, right? Try to quickly scramble to get some data on him, right?
Yes.
And so this is the guy, though, that, you know, that because we have been talking about him for a couple years now, all our listeners know who this guy is. But there will be a lot of people at the Alabama football game at the start of the season who will be like looking at their program and flipping and like, okay, who is this guy now? Yep. Who's 24?
Yep.
And it is kind of funny because it's close to 22, right? And so, you know, once again, Josh Jacobs was a great talent, okay, a phenomenal talent, and I wish he wouldn't have left. And obviously, you know, Najee and Brian are both going to have to remain healthy.
Sure.
But having those two guys as your two-headed, because you know, right, Saban likes his two-headed monster, right? And so I think those two guys are more than capable of being that two-headed monster that Damian and Josh Jacobs was last year. And it is going to be fun for people to kind of have to, you know, when they realize this guy's a junior, there's a lot of our own Bama faithful, you know, who don't listen to the show, who's going to be like, who the heck is that?
Yep, absolutely. I think Jerome Ford has a chance to really get some reps. I think Keelan Robinson does as well. I think if there was a player to be an X factor and sort of, you know, even more from nowhere, if you will, than Brian Robinson, it's Tre'Davious Townsend, who's sort of waffled back and forth between running back and wide receiver. I seriously think this guy has the talent that he could start for almost any other team in the country at either of those two positions. I think if he is given a chance, he can be a Kenyon Drake type X factor out of the backfield. I would love to see that evolve and develop and present itself this season. I just think his talent, you reach a point where either there's something wrong with the guy and he doesn't get it. Otherwise, his talent suggests that he should be getting some opportunity. And what we've seen from him in limited sort of snapshots and A-days over the last couple of years, I'm convinced that this guy, if given a role, learn these 10 plays and, you know, and sort of defined it from there and rolled him out in a Kenyon Drake type position, I think Tre'Davious Townsend would be another guy that people would say, where does Alabama come up with him? Where do they get him?
No, that is true. You know, a couple other things real quick, because I know we're just trying to talk about a couple things for the preseason. There are two other players to watch for me.
Yep.
First is going to be Trevon Diggs. The reason I point out, you know, Diggs is because this guy was really coming on quickly last year before his injury. And no offense to the guys that had to step up behind him, but I think had Diggs not gone down last year, this season would have finished differently.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
As far as in games like Oklahoma's comeback, much less in the Clemson game that we don't want to talk about very much. But let's just say I think those big plays that Clemson got could have been a whole different bag if Diggs would have been in the game.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you know, we got some negative press. We got some negative comments because they thought we were being a little too homer after that game. And look, you know, Clemson took us to the woodshed. But I do think there were a couple of things that could have, you know, potentially swung the game a little differently. You know, Savon Smith was no match, you know, for what Trevon Diggs could do with Isaiah Buggs dinged up and Anfernee and Terrell sort of dinged as well. We didn't get the pass rush. And so all of those things are truths. But I think when you look at our secondary this year and the players that are just coming on, it is really exciting to think that we were replacing our dime package last year. And this year we're replacing Deontay Thompson and Savion Smith. And everyone else is back. It is amazing to think what how this secondary could evolve. And there's a couple players. Look, here's the barometer of this secondary and the potential of this secondary. Right now, if you list out the top six, it might not include. If you list out the top five, it might not include Shai Carter, which is insane because he literally could play any of the five or six in a dime package, any of the positions. And so Josh, that means Josh Jobe has really stepped up this offseason so well that he and Trevon are likely to man the corners. Patrick Surtain has progressed so that he's going to fill the star position. You know, obviously Xavier McKinney is going to play the strong safety, but Jared Maiden, and there's been some pictures of him from camp, he looks so much more filled out and so much more stout. And he was the dime back last year. And there's talk about him getting some run at the free safety. And so it's almost like we have more people than we have chairs. And when the music stops, can you believe there's a chance that Shai Carter might be the one without a starting position?
Well, that would speak to Josh Jobe, right? And, you know, that would be a nice problem to have. But I think if I had to have Shai as a dime back, I'd be okay with that too, because of what he was able to, you know, do last year. And so if Josh Jobe is going to push Shai to be a better player and Josh ultimately beats him out and Shai has to come in as your dime back, then then obviously that's a good problem for Alabama to have.
It's a phenomenal problem to have, right? I mean, it really is. And so, and this speaks to the core of it's competition. You earn your position. And I'm not mad at Shark Carter by any stretch of the imagination. But if these other guys have more upside, and I don't want to say they've worked harder, but maybe they just have more just raw athletic, you know, capability. And that puts them on the field ahead of a Shy Carter, then as fans, we should just, like, we should roll around in that. And so, like, love and embrace that, because that speaks to the talent, the capability, the depth. And then there's a handful of guys that I just love that fill out, you know, the second team, and a good portion of them are freshmen. But, you know, I've always been bullish on Daniel Wright. I like Eddie Smith, Jalen Armour, Amor Davis is coming back from injury. And some of these freshmen, we're going to start to see some of them in the two deep. DeMarco Hellams, Brandon Turnbridge, Marcus Battle, or I'm sorry, it's Jordan Battle and Marcus Banks, and then Scooby Carter, Jeffrey Carter, cornerback out of Texas, was one of the top recruits in the country. We need some of those guys to develop and get some experience, and I think we're going to see a lot of them rotate, and it's going to be exciting to see how the secondary evolves. I think they're going to be good from day one. We've talked about last year, hey, give them a little bit of time. By the end of the season, they're going to be really, really good. And they were, save for injuries. This year, the secondary, I think, is going to start good. It's going to get deeper. It's going to get better by virtue of depth. And I'm super excited about that.
No, that is awesome. The other player that I want to mention real quick, position instead of player, is just the tight end position.
Yes.
And I say that real quick because, you know, we go back to, you know, our 10 years of doing this, right? Remember all the time we talked about Michael Williams? Yep. And we talked about his ability to be able to, you know, be an H-back, be a traditional blocking tight end, be a pass-catching tight end. And, you know, Alabama hasn't been able to find that guy that can really do all those roles well. And so, you know, last year it was a package of Hale and Irv Smith. And let's face it, those two combined was a Michael Williams of days past, right? As far as like one person being able to do all the things they can do. And Hale's stick was really the blocking, and Irv Smith obviously developed his passing ability over his time in Alabama. But Miller and Major, you know, Miller Forrestall and Major Tennyson, you know, it's their opportunity again. It's next man up kind of deal. But that tight end position in the Alabama offense is a huge thing. And that's just a question mark for me and kind of seeing how this pans out.
No, I'll say that you and I have different opinions on Irv Smith, and I think that's fine. I think Irv Smith is one of the finest tight ends that we've ever seen at Alabama. Obviously, he's not an Ozzie Newsome or he's not that, but, you know, I might put him in my top three, and I would certainly put him number one tight end over the last maybe 20 years. And that's
No, I'm not against him. I'm just saying that, like, even at the end of the day, his blocking developed and continued to get better, and last year his blocking was better, right? Obviously, his pass catching was off the charts.
Sure.
I just don't see Miller and Major stepping in at the end of line of scrimmage and doing the blocking job that he did last year.
No. Irv Smith is one of the most complete linebackers. Why do I keep doing that? One of the most complete tight ends that we've had, you know. I mean, give O.J. Howard the nod for, you know, pass catching, and give, you know, Michael Williams the nod for blocking, and then both could do the other. But Irv Smith is like, if you could blend those two together, then you end up with Irv Smith. And I think we're going to miss him in that regard. Kedrick James was a player that was going to have to sit out the first four games. And there was an opportunity that he could step in and be a really athletic contributor, but he's decided to leave the program. And then I feel like we're gonna miss a Hale Hinchus, which, you know, as a solid contributor, he's been a line of players, and there's a little bit of a step down, call it a step down, you know, with Miller Forrestall and Major Tennyson. One of them is gonna have to step up into a Hale Hinchus role. And we need more than that from the position. I sort of got aggravated this morning. I read an article on Tighter Insider, Rodney Orr, and he stole, if you could hear my notes, I wrote this down a week ago, that walk-on Giles Amos is going to be this year's Kelly Johnson. And I've been sitting on that until we did the podcast. And sort of, you know, of course, Rodney has a printed out, published it this morning. But I think he's a guy to watch out for. That, again, kind of coming from nowhere, no one's heard of this guy, but I think he's a walk-on that has a chance to get certainly, I think, in the 2D at the linebacker position. So, damn, why do I keep doing that? Tight end, at the tight end position, watch out for Giles Amos.
Well, you know, take nothing away from Miller or Major, right? But they are, and the good news is, they're both 6'5".
Yep.
So they're both 6'5", like hell. But they're, you know, Miller's 240, Major's 245. They, you know, they don't have as much in their britches as Hale did, right? When it comes to being that blocking tight end. And what's interesting about Sarkisian is in all his years of at the college level, he's always had a couple thousand yard rushers on his football team.
Yep.
Sarkisian likes to run the ball first to set up the pass. And so something's got to give is all I'm saying, because we got to have that sixth guy, you know, from a blocking standpoint. So,
yep, I agree.
Anything else that you want to mention here on our preseason show as far as things to look for before we jump to the other things that we wanted to talk about?
I probably got a couple things that I can sort of rapid pace.
Go right ahead.
DJ Dale as a nose tackle, I think is going to be a day one contributor. I know he's dinged up in camp, but I love a defensive front that, you know, kind of goes too deep. LeBryan Ray, DJ Dale, Raekwon Davis, Justin Aboybe, Fidarius Mathis, and Tevetta Masika, and then just a handful of youngsters, you know, behind it. I like the depth that we're going to develop on the defensive front. It might be midseason before it's in true form, but I'm super excited about that. I don't think there's really much to say about quarterback except for the backup position. You know, if you had to write down a number two, it's going to be Mac Jones. But if you are tracking play, watch for Talia and Mac Jones to both play a similar number of reps. And we are not playing for a backup this season. We're playing for the starting the starter camp battle for next season. And so Talia will not leave this season without significant experience, so that he has a chance. An even playing field chance, if you will, to beat out Mac Jones, because I think his upside is better. And so he will not start next year's camp sort of in the hole. And then, Tommy, I don't know what to say about wide receiver. I mean, this may be the best group. If you look at...
I can say what to say about them.
Okay.
Players, all the fans better watch them, because we might never have a trio... Not and I say from the all being juniors, right?
Yep.
Take nothing away from our stud sophomore, but we might never ever, you know, we might never see a trio of guys in the same class again as long as we do this show.
No, I completely agree. I think we have an opportunity to do if we remember, and this was a no fun Clemson game either, but the 2016 championship game, you know, January of 2017, Clemson had a lot of depth at receiver, and we were relatively thin at defensive back. And so one of their strategies was to just run the hockey line. Everyone's going to run deep routes. Everyone's running nines, and we're going to wear out the secondary, and we're going to rotate players every couple of plays, and we're just going to wear you out. Well, look at this in terms of, you know, take these eight guys and put them in any sort of order, and you run, you know, three at a time or even four at a time. Jerry Jeudy, Devontae Smith, Henry Ruggs, Jalen Waddle, Xavier Williams, Tyrell Shavers, John Metchie, and Slade Bolden. And Tommy, you could just pick names out of a hat and put four of them out there and run nines all day, and, you know, run nines all through the first quarter, and then and just completely just exhaust the secondary. And then start battering, ramming, you know, the offensive front on the other team. I know we're not going to do it quite as straightforward or, you know, vanilla as that. But the point is, there's so damn many of them that will be an advantage, just the brute force of wearing out the secondary, if we ever find a game where we need to do that.
Oh no, I agree with that. Obviously the depth is there, but these first three guys, you know, just enjoy them while you can, Bama fans.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Yep.
And I guess the only other very quick thing is take nothing against Mathis and his ability to step up. But Quinnen Williams was a special player.
Oh,
and he proceeded, he followed another special player. So from Bama's fans, the good news is when Quinnen Williams had to step up, we were like, how are we going to replace our nose guard? Insert Quinnen Williams.
Yep.
So Mathis, is now time for Mathis to follow in those footsteps.
Mathis, and I'm bullish on DJ Dale. Some of the stuff coming out of camp on him. There's NFL guys saying that guy's special. So hopefully he comes back from his little ding. But I think he'll get some run. He's going to wear number 94 like Daron Payne. And so hopefully we sit in the stands and have Daron Payne flashbacks.
Absolutely. Well, man, what else did you you were telling something to the listeners at the beginning of the podcast that you wanted to go over?
Yeah, I just want to whisper this. The kicking game looks good, but I'm not going to upset that apple cart.
All right, sounds good. So what else did you have you wanted to cover?
We are, I'm kind of excited about this. We're rolling out this season. We've sort of teased it before. We've talked about it. We've never sort of, you know, gotten off our collective rear ends to put this together. But it's an opportunity to sort of engage a little bit more with the fans. If you're a longtime listener, you kind of know where we come from. We're just two guys that do this as a hobby. It is a hobby with a cost. And so we've thought, you know, we've never really gone out and tried to get advertisers and sort of insert that into and sort of dilute, the product or dilute the podcast. And so what we're looking at doing is, more of a listener support model. There's a website, called Patreon that does this. And so we've done a little bit of research there. We're not hosting this on the Patreon platform, but we're doing something very similar. And it's, you know, sort of an overview, and then I'll step through the levels. We have different, we've sort of defined different levels of contribution. If you give a one-time contribution for the season, you qualify for, you know, certain incentives, and they're low dollar amounts. Most of them are low dollar amounts, and you get some additional perks and bonuses for doing that. The core podcast is not changing. We're not putting it behind a paywall, but this is an opportunity for fans who really enjoy the show for literally, you know, nickels and quarters per show, you know, can show a little bit of support and help us offset the cost. As Tommy and I indicated, this is our 10th season, and I hate to do the math, but, you know, it costs us about $1,000 a season to host this, and that starts to get to a number that, you know, I'm scratching my head if we really spent that much money on this thing, but it sounds like maybe we have. And so what we want to do this season is roll out a listener support model. It's 100% optional, but there's some cool sort of benefits that we will add to or give to those who contribute. So I can step through the platforms or step through the levels. But Tommy, do you have any sort of questions, or if you're a listener hearing this, what a question might be that you have?
You know, I think you covered the fact that our podcast is not changing, right? Our format is not changing in what we're doing. We obviously love doing this and want to keep doing this. We obviously have our day jobs to support this hobby. But this is a chance, I think, as you step through these levels for the listeners to get to do some additional content over and above the regular things that we deliver.
Yep. Yep. Well, let me step through these and we'll kind of go from there. All of this information, I'll repeat this more than once in case you don't have a pen or just sort of reinforce it in your mentals. All of this information is available on our website. Yes, we actually do have a website. It's called, very creatively, it's called alabamafootballpodcast.com. So if you're listening to the Alabama Football Podcast, attach a .com, and that's our website. And all of this, the list of 2019 listener support campaign is available on alabamafootballpodcast.com. And so we've got four levels, and I'll kind of step through these. Yes, we have given them cheesy names, and you're welcome. The first is called the varsity status. And so you can be a varsity member of the podcast team. for $10 a season. What does that mean, a season? This counts from August 2019 up until when we do August 2020 preseason. So this will cover all of the games that we do this season, anything we do for bowl games, for postseason, anything that we do for recruiting, anything that we do for A-Day, anything that we do in the off season leading up to. So it's almost literally a calendar year for $10 for the season for that calendar year, which at 15 shows, and sometimes there's 15 games. So at 15 shows, that's 67 cents an episode. You know, that's couch cushion money. So for $10 for the season, you get obviously a truly sincere appreciation from us. We want to give all of these listeners a shout out on the show for this level of contribution. There will be bonus recordings. Again, we're not hiding our podcast, but these will be bonus things. And Tommy, you and I talked about this. Sometimes we just want to hop on the mic and talk about something that happened, not like we're DJs, but hop on the mic and talk about something that happened in practice. And sometimes just the infrastructure of getting it recorded and getting with the producer and getting it out there, sort of the moment's lost. But we can just hop on the mic and do something raw, put it out there. And we hope to do that multiple times during the season. Sometimes we can take raw, unedited shows and make that available to this group. We're going to do a ticket raffle for a game later in the season, so you can come sit with us in a game. And depending upon how many tickets we'll have, that's how many raffles, that's how many winners we would have. And so out of this $10 contribution group, you would be part of the raffle. And then we want to do at least once, hopefully maybe a couple times, do sort of a pre or post game meetup. And so depending upon sort of family commitments and season commitments and time of game, we might get together and say, hey, let's hit a bar before the game and sort of hang out and talk football. Or maybe depending on, again, time of the game, hey, let's meet up somewhere after a game, have a few drinks, and meet some of the podcast listeners. And so for $10, the varsity status, you get all of those good stuff. There's a second tier called the starter status. This is $25, and so it's about $1.67 per show. Again, at 15 shows, we've talked about that. You get all of the prior stuff. You get 5 additional raffle entries, so really you're stacking the deck in your favor to win. That's a total of 6 raffle entries, and then you'll get a personal listing. This will be a shout-out that you want to give, or if you have a company that you want to have an ad for, or if you just want a link for those that are into sort of SEO. For the $25, you get all the other stuff plus a personal link from our website. Tier 3 is an All-America status. I am really excited about this level, and I'm going to tell you we have a limited space. And I think we started with 10. We've already filled a couple of those. For the All-American status, it's $50, and so I know that's a little bit more. That's about $3. It's about $3.33, you know, per show. So that would be the commitment level. You get all of the prior stuff. You get 5 more entries in the lottery, in the raffle. So you get 11 total entries. You get auto inclusion in next year's baseline level. So this has already been a success. We're already going to repeat this for 2020. And so for the $50 contribution, you get already the entry level for next year. And so if that's another 15 shows, then that gets $50 down to $1.67 a show. And you sort of get, you know, air quotes, membership privileges for 2 years. And here's the kicker. And this is why we're limiting this group, because there's hopefully so many of you that will have an interest in this. You'll have an opportunity to do a guest appearance on the podcast. And so it'll be Tommy and I and a third person. And depending upon how many we have, it may be a three-man booth for a show. We may have some special shows depending on how many people, where we just have a round table with maybe 2 or 3. It'd be a small group, but we do this maybe between the end of the season and the bowl games. And so a lot of it goes down to personal schedules. We absolutely want to work with whoever contributes to make this a unique sort of opportunity experience, if you will. And we're super excited about that opportunity to get some of you guys on the show with us talking football. I think there's been 2 or 3 people that have already done this, and they've already commented, I can't wait to get on the show and talk to you guys. That is flattering. It's humbling, and it's exciting that we have people out there that are as excited about Alabama football as we are. There's also a fourth level, and I am excited and maybe a little disappointed also to share that this level has been filled. This is what we're calling the James Fail status. We're all familiar with the story of James Fail. He contributed to the university. Now the visitor locker room is called the Fail Room, which is probably the most genius thing I've ever heard. This is you know, for an especially price insensitive individual. And we'll say that Wild Bill Esquire has been our contributor here, and we are suddenly super big fans of Wild Bill. And basically, this is to underwrite the full season. And so we're super excited that this season has already been fully underwritten, which is really, really great. And then as we continue to amass contributions, that'll do a couple things that'll allow us to grow and expand the show, maybe do some additional episodes, and then, you know, maybe frankly sort of backfill some of our prior expenses. And so we're super excited that we've had an individual that has kind of asked to remain a little bit anonymous. We're having, you know, good conversations with them because we want to be respectful of the benefits that we've committed to this level, and then also respectful for maybe some anonymity there. So with love, we will we'll attribute this now the Wild Bill Esquire James Fail status. So Tommy, that's a lot of stuff. I know I threw it out there. If you need to go back and listen to it again, do that. Go to alabamafootballpodcast.com for all of the details, you know, sort of written out. Tommy, any sort of questions? I sort of feel like that was a water hose for a minute.
It was a water hose, man, but it was a good water hose, man. It was freaking Alabama football water hose. And so, you know, those are some great levels and opportunities to try some stuff. And the biggest thing for us is we want to create an avenue where, in addition to our regular content, we can jump on and do, you know, a timely topic in just a few snippets of recording and share it with our listeners who are kind of, you know, who are able to do, you know, one of these levels kind of deal. And so the biggest thing is we're not changing our show. We're going to keep doing this because we love what we do. We were just trying to come up with additional ways that our listeners could be more part of what we're doing.
Yep. And you know, I'm going to sound like NPR for a minute. They always do their listener campaigns. For the varsity status, the $10, you know, per season, Tommy and I we spent a good amount of time talking about this. What should we set this out? Because those are some really cool benefits, and it's just 10 bucks. And the thought, and you know, we landed on the idea that we don't want to put it up to 15 or 20. We want it to be low enough, just a round, easy number that's a low enough number. It's under a dollar a show, and it's so easy. There's almost no reason, if you're a fan of the show, that, and you've been listening to us for, you know, multiple years and enjoy it, there's almost no reason that, you know what, that's worth a 10 spot. And then you get like the coolest bang for the buck on the benefits. You know, we want to do special shows for that group. We want to do sort of the bonus recordings that we don't even do now. How many times have we said, you know, the bye week, we've gone through the bye week and we didn't do a pregame for LSU. And by the time we said, gosh, I really wish we had, it's too late to record it and get it out there before the game. But now we'll have an opportunity to do it, post it, and this group would get that type of access. And so that's an example of the kind of thing that we've never done before. But with this level of support, you would have the opportunity to get that kind of stuff. So we're super excited about that. And then the All-American level, and again, that's a step up to $50, and it is limited because just, you know, trying to do a show with so many different people, just the coordination there. But I'm super excited about the opportunity to get some of you guys on, gals, on the show with us, talking football, to, you know, to hear your passion, to hear you ask us questions, to have us ask you questions, because there's guys out there and girls out there that know the game and know the players and have opinions every bit as strong and as insightful as what we have. The questions that we get certainly reflect that. And so we're excited about having the opportunity to get to meet some of those people and certainly share them with the listening audience. And then I'm excited about, you know, an opportunity to have, you know, our own little meetup and you know, have a few beverages, have a beverage or two, you know, before a game at one of the local watering holes. I'm super excited about that. And gosh, if we did something like that and had, you know, 50 or 60 people, that was just the vision of that is just mind blowing. And I think, but it, again, that's at the low level. And so we think that, you know, of the couple thousand downloads we get, we hope that there's, you know, maybe 100 people that would be as excited about this and hopefully more. But yeah, it's just beyond excited to do this. The feedback, we launched sort of a soft launch of this on Facebook. The response has just been phenomenal. And now we're excited to get this actually on a show where we have thousands, couple thousand listeners as opposed to, you know, maybe tens of people following us on Facebook. So just really super excited about this and hope that we're not going to do hard sells. This is just it. This is the hard sell. We hope that you guys are excited about this, and we hope that we get just an uptake of participation. And Tommy, where would you go to find out more information and to participate?
I think you go to alabamafootballpodcast.com.
Oh, that was a risk, man. I didn't know if you would know that.
So do you want to logistically very quickly just step the listeners through if they decide they want to go to the website, and obviously all the information is there, just quickly step through what they would do after they look at the information if they do want to, you know, contribute at one of those levels?
No, that is a fantastic question. And so I, on an exception basis, we've gotten a couple of people that don't want to use PayPal, or we've gotten a couple of people that have had some issues with the link. And so let me set those aside. The process design is literally you go to alabamafootballpodcast.com. Across the header, and one of the most recent articles is about the 2019 listener appreciation campaign. And you go to that article, and that article will spell out all of these levels. It'll bullet all of the benefits, and at each level, the varsity, the starter, the All-America, and we've taken down now the James Fail. But in all three of those levels, there will be a PayPal button. That button is specific to that level. And so if you hit the varsity, it's going to pull up PayPal at a $10 amount. You can change the amount, I think, but it's to the $10 amount. At the starter level, it's going to pull up $25. And at the All-American, it's going to start up 50. So make sure you get the right PayPal button, because it's going to default to that amount. And then when you pay at that level through PayPal, it's going to go to my personal. We're doing this as a personal contribution. Again, all of this information is in the FAQ on the site. We're doing this as a personal contribution, so it's going to go to my personal PayPal account. That's David Osment. And so if you see that, you're not getting ripped off. It's us. You make that contribution. That PayPal, when it's going to take you to PayPal, and then it's going to bring you back to a thank you page that lists out all the benefits. It gives a little more information and details about the incentives and how the incentives will roll out. There's also a form that you can fill out with your name, your email, so that we have that information. We can log that information, and we can track and make sure that we're giving out the incentives to the appropriate people. If, and it should be sort of liquid smooth, if it's not that smooth, or if you're not a fan of PayPal, hit us up on the contact at alabamafootballpodcast.com. There's a contact button, or you can send us an email at alabamafootballpodcast@gmail.com. You can send us an email and say, hey, this thing's acting wonky. Help me figure out an alternative option, and we will absolutely help you with an alternative option. And we've done that for, you know, probably two or three, four folks already. So, Tommy, it should be liquid smooth. If it's not, let us know, and we will make it so.
Man, I appreciate you going over that. So, guys, just please also, if you have any follow-up questions after you go to the website and you look at the information, you have any questions, let us know. And we're going to continue to tweak and improve on this as we go forward. But there's been a lot of time and thought put into, you know, just the different ways that we can, you know, give y'all more access over and above what we're already doing. So, thank you so much for listening to this preseason show. We're excited about, our first show, after the Duke game. And we just look forward to, you know, keeping up with Alabama football in the next month and doing a show here in a few weeks.
Absolutely. Super excited about the season. Super excited about engaging with the fans again. Some renewed energy, you know, over this being our 10th season, which is itself amazing. Just really excited, ready to go. Tommy, anything else?
No, man. I'm just ready to hear your takeout phrase. Come on, man. You want me to do it?
Yes, you do it. Yes, I want to hear you do it.
All right. This has been another episode of the Alabama Football Podcast.
I do that like off the, just unconsciously. And yep. So when you wanted me to say it, I didn't know what to say. So I'm glad you remembered.
I think I did okay. Signing out.
That's right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just to shout out a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach? Of course. Roll Tide.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.